Welcome to the September edition of BBRO Bootcast. I'm Francesca Broom, your host and Knowledge Exchange Manager for BBRO. Planning on-farm cropping systems and rotations can be a complicated business. Add to that the plethora of variety choices, and it'd be no surprise that many growers find seed choice a bit of a headache. That's why this month we're going to chat to Mike May, Chairman of the Sugar Beet RL Board, on how varieties are selected and what you need to look for in order to simplify your own seed selection process. Mike, here we are in the RL field at Morley. You have a long history of RL and sugar beet, and currently you're the chairman of the RL board for us. How long have you been in that role?
In the RL board? Well, at least since 2011. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I've been involved in the RL since the 1980s, so when I was working for Morley at that stage.
And what was your role then? What were you doing?
I was just a committee member on the crop committee.
And have you seen much change in the way that the RL has been operating up till now?
It's been generally the same principle. It's been based on yield, and the way it operates, yes, we could run a lot more trials then compared to now for the cost and the number. But now what is really happening is that we've got so many traits to assess as well. And that's going to make the RL lists itself more complicated. Because if we've got a variety that's perhaps not quite there on yield, but it's got, say, good disease resistance, crop committee have often allowed that to go through because it is something we need, some tolerance to disease, for instance. Mm. So there's that sort of happening. But I think, yes, there's a lot to be considered in the next few years.
Yeah, and obviously we use commercial treatments for actives on all of our RL, but the introduction of the Conviso Smart technology, I mean, that was a little bit of a difficult one to come over initially, and because we are spraying different trials, we have to use the same actives in order to make sure that the data is robust that comes out, but actually Conviso Smart isn't created for that purpose, is it?
No, I mean, the problem with any sort of herbicide tolerance or some, or any aspect is that, as you say, we're using a farmer's field, the farmer's best treatment that they would use for a good yield on their crop. So all the plots are treated exactly the same. When it comes around to Conviso, it's being used with herbicides you probably wouldn't use on a Conviso crop. You would use the Conviso herbicide plan. And with that, we can't really test it in within the RL trials. Separate trials, yes, and that's what the breeders have been doing so far. They can prove quite easily that it is ALS tolerant. That's done before we accept it. Generally, it's 100% tolerant, but the yield differences are actually because depends on what you're comparing it with. If you're comparing it with a situation where you're spraying the other crops with fairly damaging type of, potentially damaging herbicide, shall we say, and the weather isn't ideal, you can get crop damage from them. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you would see Conviso crops really yielding, out-yielding. Other situations, most growers are fairly careful. You don't get severe damage on your crop or even damage. And so there, the difference would be smaller. And so we have to rely on the data from the breeders and others, from other trials. And BBRO are potentially involved in that.
And we've seen a number of new ones, new smart varieties coming through now, haven't we? I know we had, I think there's one new one this year with Uma, but we've got other breeders are now introducing the technology too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I think it's available to quite a few of them, and we will have those through. The only thing we have to watch, and most growers are au fait with all of this, is that, you know, we are using an ALS herbicide, so we do need to make sure we're not building up resistance across the rotation. That's always been a benefit of the traditional beet herbicides, is that they're different in their mode of action, most of them anyway, to those used in other crops. So we do need to watch for that. And I don't think we'll get to the point where they're all Conviso type of ones, ALS tolerance. But they are useful in many different ways, particularly for weed beet. But quite a few people are using them for management because they haven't got a lot of time in the summer, so, or spring rather. So yes, I think it's good to see them from different companies, different aspects working on them.
And as you say, we need to protect the technology. And I know there has been some talk of slight resistance coming through on one or two areas, but we don't know for certain whether that's just the management process that's been involved there. If we want this technology to continue, then the stewardship is ultra important, isn't it?
It is. And I think on the whole, there shouldn't be an issue in the sense of the breeders have bred it into the variety. And when they test those varieties, they're all tolerant. There isn't the case of, like on some of the other traits you might have, there might be some of the seed you buy within a pack, three or four or whatever, may have slightly different genetics to the others. But this one is generally the same all the way through. So there shouldn't be an issue on that area.
And we encourage all growers to remove bolters, but that is particularly important when it comes to Conviso.
Absolutely, yes, because it will restrict what you can do.
Yeah, so don't be complacent. Make sure you keep an eye on those bolters in the field and do check regularly. Now, we've got 22 varieties available for 2025. Now, that's lower than previous years. Is that done for a reason?
I would say it's about the same, to be honest. I think, if anything, you will see them going up, as I said, because we're bringing other traits in. But that's not so different. We've had them down to 18 or more, or less. And there's been some concern, even at that level, we were getting too many. But really, you're buying sugar beet seed for a crop. You need to actually look at what the seed options are and how they fit in with you. And I think, don't want to go overboard, but we are having more varieties there to give growers more choice. Most of them now are not just doing it on yield, they're doing it on other characteristics, like is one slightly more disease tolerant, BCN tolerant, or whatever. And so they're going to be a mix in there.
Well, for the sugars, I mean, most of them are sort of just under the 17 or just over it. There's not a huge difference in sugar levels at the moment. And the same on the actual adjusted yield. I mean, we've got one of the other new ones coming through is the KWS Timer. And I noticed that one is, I think it was 16.9 on the RL, but the adjusted yield is 101. So in the scheme of things, it's quite a small range, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I always say to growers, what you need to do is say, what are you looking for first? I mean, have you got BCN? Well, then you rule out a lot of varieties. If you then go down and perhaps haven't got BCN, but you go down and say, what do I want? Do I want high sugars? There's not all, as you say, there are one or two statistical differences, but essentially, if you keep to the upper end of them from that set, you know, that's where you're going to get best sugars compared to the lower end, but it's not always significant. And then you look at all the other characteristics you want for them. You know, at the moment, there are not big differences between when you harvest, between the varieties. The ranking is roughly the same. There's yield differences, obviously, but the ranking is not so different. In trials they've been doing, you know, BBRO have added extra trials in, and they've not really shown a great difference in ranking. When there is one, they'll follow it up and see why. Because you may well get a variety that is or is not tolerant to later harvesting. Some of them may be better or not. We do watch for that, or BBRO do within their trials, which is fed into the RL.
And when are the trials normally lifted?
Well, with the trials and the yields we're using, at the moment we're using results from the breeders, or AFA, who are doing trials before they get on the list. They're looking at, are those varieties worth going onto the list? Varietal listing now, it used to be national listing. They have to be that before they can be sold, and basically they have to get through that before they go on the RL. And in that test, they do have all the varieties in there, so that set of data goes into the RL. That's normally until about mid-October latest. They are harvesting early because they want to get all the data through to sort what they need to sow for next year, etc. That early is mostly from those trials. And then we'll go on. We have to be harvested normally by the end of November to get the data through, to get a crop committee decision before Christmas, to be able to get that back to the breeders, for them to then get their seed ready. And obviously, if it's on the list, they want some extra seed. They're going to use extra seed to try and, you know, get people out there to test grow it and other factors and get used to it. So the actual harvest window for most of the RL trials is between, you know, September, early September, and the end of November. We did have to go late one year and get enough trials. And that meant we had to meet in the new year, and that caused a lot of issues. We don't want to do that if we can help.
And I know generally, you've got the data coming out in March, you've decided, and we normally release it on sort of 1st of April, don't we?
Yeah.
So no April Fool's jokes, but you know that's the day that we actually release. And yet it's a whole year almost before it's going into the ground. Is that to give the breeders time to get the seed ready as well?
Well, partly. Basically, what we are doing is we're saying these can go through into the RL. They know quite a lot of them can, but you know they've got to get it already for the trials. And they also want to try and get some then once they've been in the trials and coming through well to be put onto the RL. Then they'll be looking at bulking them up for early testing.
Mm-hmm. And we've got some other new ones here. So from the Struber, we've got the Tweed and Trent.
Yeah.
Again, first year for us. What's your thoughts on those two?
Well, again, I mean, they're on the RL. They're one of your choices, you know. With some of these varieties, we gain extra information as we go on. And so always, you know, take note of BBRO updates on varieties and also the RL updates when they come out. With some of them, they go on to the RL, but don't always sort of go well for a year or two. Others, fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a case of wait and see.
And obviously the disease rating is only as good as the disease that's in the area at the time, isn't it? We don't inoculate
inoculation.
Disease or
so
virus.
And every grower will know, it's very seldom coming in evenly across the field. So it has to be replicated data, looked at carefully.
Yeah. And we've got, obviously, the RL varieties in front of us here now, and when it comes to Cercospora, we've got some issues at the moment. We're seeing pockets around the area, but they all look fairly clean, don't they?
Yeah, it depends where, in this particular field. Yeah, they do, but we have got varieties coming through with a bit more tolerance to Cercospora now, and I suspect that'll be quite a big thing in the future because it's a major disease on the continent. So breeding it into varieties over there, bringing it now into us because we do need it, I think will be quite a fast situation.
And that is one of the new special traits that's come in this year,
yeah,
isn't it, with the KWS chymer. And
obviously
when we're looking across the field, there's also quite a variation in colour, but that's not necessarily a problem, is it?
Colour, no. Well, it is for some growers because they've been so used to looking at a bright green crop and it looks great. But when you look at it, if a variety is paler coloured naturally, that's still judged on its yield, not on its colour.
Yeah.
And it can vary from site to site. We used to be putting colours, and we used to put in a habit, the crop top size, the crown height, all of these used to go in, and essentially they're variable throughout the trials, depending on the sites you're at, and it's so difficult to work out what is the factor causing it. So those are not in there now.
And out of the 22 varieties, we have 5 new ones this year, and obviously we've talked a bit about the chymer and the Smart Duma KWS. What about the other three? I mean, we've got, I think it was Josephina KWS.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about Struber Tweed and Trent and Cess van der Haar Magpie. All of them obviously good enough to be on the RL.
Yeah.
But how many other varieties do you actually then discount? I mean, how many are you actually looking at before you make those decisions?
Well, yeah, when you look at the number of varieties that we're testing, there's a lot started off in the VL trials, but each year those halve down. So there's probably about 15 considered in the last year of those to be considered for the RL. You know, a lot of them are taken off by the breeders. Others don't get through for other reasons. But when you look at the actual list, I think it's going to get bigger.
And you've got stalwarts like the BTS 1915 and Daphne we've seen for quite a few years, but generally, yeah, but the life on the RL is 3 to 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's quite a quick turnover, but it just goes to show how hard the breeders are working to support the growers in the UK.
It does. I mean, yes, it would be great if we had a database on a variety. If we had them all like Daphne, a great big database, it'd make it much easier to work. But at the same time, you want improvements all the time. So Daphne's an exception. It's managed to keep its yield up. But others, you know, will go.
Yeah. And the same for the RL, because the system of the RL is also on a changing path at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the main worry has been is that up until now, we've been testing sort of genetics. And the aim, which you'll all hear about soon, is to actually go more to product. So what you buy will be closer to what's been tested in the RL.
So just explain that to me when you say product, as in, is that seed pelleting?
It's we've already changed from one pellet so that they can use their own the growers can use their own pellet. Some of them use Germain's or somebody like that, but they supply it with the pellet on it. What's now going to happen, and that's something that happened probably about 3 years ago. We started at 21. Now we're looking to actually allow them to have advancement on them. So that, again, is all varieties virtually when they're sold have that. And so that will be on varieties going into the ground this coming season in testing.
And so we will continue with an RL as such for the UK, but breeders are also going to be able to sell direct from other varieties that are on the varieties list, aren't they?
That's as I understand it, yeah.
So I think it's a case of, yeah, we're all watching this space very closely because I know there's been a few queries for us for BBRO of varieties that we're unaware of. It doesn't mean to say that they're not a good variety. It's just that it hasn't gone through the robust RL process and the trials that we currently do for those that are listed.
I think you'll find that most of them actually are within the system, and sometimes it's a way of getting them testing, you know, a little bit earlier. But essentially, they will be sort of small bulks probably that the breeders want, you know, wider testing, and growers are prepared to look at them. I mean, there's so much effort going in by breeders, you know, and all the time we're throwing back at them, you know, well, they're seeing changes in the beet growing, the weather, the pests, the disease, everything. So they've got so many different things to look at, but we will see those changes happening.
Yeah, well, I guess it's done exceptionally well over the last few years, and that's been under your leadership, because I understand you are about to stand down as RL chairman.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to do with my leadership. Everything is actually down to the breeders. But yes, I'm standing down this year.
Yeah.
I think give somebody else a go. It's a very interesting topic. And it's great because you can see improvements.
Yeah, it's good to see all of the trials taking place. I mean, we've got five across the whole of the growing area, and it's amazing the difference we can actually see across each of those sites. So to bring all that data together and actually keep everybody on board and everybody happy, I think you've done an exceptionally good job, Mike. So on behalf of everyone, thank you for your time today and for the past few years.
Thank you.
As mentioned, there are actually 22 varieties on the RL for the 2025. We have only just covered the newcomers in this podcast, so please do take time to look at the full list, which is available on the BBRO website, www.bbro.co.uk, under sugar beet varieties. And we've also released a video of the BBRO variety strip trials at Morley, which will be available very shortly. If you require basis points for this podcast, the reference number is CP139540/2425/K. I hope you've enjoyed this month's content, and thank you very much for listening.